The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Today's tech news moves fast, but understanding it shouldn't be hard. That's why Snarful Solutions Group brings you Connecting the Dots, where we break down what's happening in tech and why it matters to you. Now, let's dive in with your hosts.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots, your daily look at how technology shapes our world. I'm Alex.
And I'm Morgan, ready to unpack the day's most compelling tech stories with you.
Absolutely. It is Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. And wow, what a day we have ahead. Here in Sacramento, it's going to be a hot one, folks. High of 96 degrees Fahrenheit. So yeah, get that AC cranking.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And nationally, that heat is, well, it's really making its presence felt. We're seeing extreme heat peaking across the desert Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
And also fire weather concerns, you know, for the Four Corners region, stretching into the central Great Basin and the Rockies.
Yeah.
Just hot, dry, windy conditions.
Meanwhile, if you're in the Southeast, you might be grabbing an umbrella. Looks like heavy rainfall and a flash flooding threat are continuing there.
Mm-hmm.
And up north, from the upper Midwest into the Northeast, looks like poor air quality is sticking around because of that wildfire smoke. So yeah, stay safe and cool out there, everyone.
Good advice. Okay, turning our attention to the markets, as of today, August 6th, the Dow Jones closed down just a tiny bit, lost 84.83 points, so minus 0.19% on the day.
Okay.
But for the week, it's still looking pretty good, up 0.89%.
Right, decent weekly gain. And the S&P 500.
That one managed a slight gain today, closed up 0.04%. That's 2.76 points. And it's up 0.64% for the week.
Okay, also positive for the week. What about Bitcoin? Always got to check Bitcoin.
Always. It saw a small daily increase, 0.09%, so about 104 points. But interestingly, it's actually down 3.06% for the week.
Huh. So a little up today, but down overall recently. A bit of a mixed bag in the crypto world, as usual.
Yeah, always a bit of volatility in that space, isn't there?
Speaking of things to watch, how about our San Francisco Giants? Oh, you know I can't let the morning go by without this.
Oh, here we go.
They clinched a fantastic win against the Pittsburgh Pirates on August 5th. An awesome 8-1 final score.
Nice. 8-1.
Yes. Logan Webb got the win. Fantastic pitching. And, you know, even Brian Reynolds for the Pirates went 2-for-4. But it just wasn't enough for them. We are so happy about that victory.
That's a great result. A good start to the day for Giants fans, no doubt.
You bet. All right. All right. Time to shift gears. From the ballpark to the business world, specifically the tech world.
Let's do it.
We're jumping into our Morningstar segment. This is where we break down the top three tech news stories of the day, straight from our Snarful Tech Article Report Star for short. And these stories, well, they're really connecting the dots in some surprising ways today.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's jump into our first one.
All right. So our first story takes us into the world of semiconductors. We're looking at AMD's Q2 earnings report.
Okay.
The company just announced its second quarter financials for 2025. And the top line number is quite impressive. Revenue came in at a strong $7.68 billion.
Wow, $7.68 billion. And that didn't just meet expectations, right? It actually beat the market consensus.
That's right. Beat the consensus, which was looking for something a bit lower. So yeah, right off the bat, a positive beat for AMD.
Nice.
And what's more, their data center revenue specifically was up a solid 14% year over year. Hit $3.2 billion.
Okay, that sounds like a clear win, especially with all the talk about AI these days. Data center growth is huge.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets, well, really interesting and maybe a bit paradoxical. Despite those strong overall numbers, despite that impressive data center growth, AMD's AI chip revenue actually fell year over year.
It fell? How does that happen? AI is everywhere. Everyone's pouring money into it, and their AI chip revenue dropped.
Surprising twist, right? Given all the excitement and investment in AI.
Yeah, that seems completely counterintuitive. Is this just a blip or what's going on there?
Well, AMD CEO Lisa Su, she attributed this dip to basically two main factors.
Okay.
First, the ongoing U.S. export curbs on China.
Mm-hmm.
Those restrictions are clearly impacting their ability to sell certain high-end chips there.
Ah, the trade restrictions. Makes sense.
And second, the company is kind of in a transition phase. They're moving to their new MI350 chip. So it's a mix of, you know, geopolitical headwinds and product cycle timing.
Okay, so export rules plus a product transition. So what does this AMD paradox, this sort of weird situation, tell us, like, for listeners or businesses trying to figure things out?
Well, I think it reveals a really critical vulnerability, actually. Mm. Even the hottest sectors, like AI, they just can't outrun geopolitical friction.
Right.
It's kind of a stark reminder that innovation alone isn't enough. Global trade policies, they're really shaping the future of tech now, impacting everything from, you know, corporate bottom lines to the actual chips in your next device.
Hmm.
It's not just about what you invent anymore, but where and how you can actually sell it.
It really is. It's a classic example, isn't it? You look at a financial report, seems straightforward, but there's always this deeper layer of complexity underneath. You hear AI is booming, which it is, but then you see how something like international trade policy can just throw a wrench into even the most promising growth areas. Just reminds you things are rarely simple, even for the biggest players.
Precisely. And it makes you think about how these big macro factors affect not just like company stock prices, but also the availability and maybe even the cost of the tech products we all rely on every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now let's look into a story that really, really pulls together tech, trade, and national security, because this one feels like a high-stakes global chess match playing out.
Oh, indeed. This story involves China summoning NVIDIA, you know, one of the biggest names in AI chips.
Right.
They summoned them over alleged security risks with its H20 AI chip. China is demanding, quote, convincing security evidence, citing backdoor fears.
Backdoor fears. Wow. And are they just saying this or is there some context?
Well, they're not just pulling it out of thin air, apparently. The Chinese authorities are pointing to demands from some U.S. lawmakers who want tracking features on advanced chips. And even claims by some U.S. AI experts about mature remote control technologies potentially being in NVIDIA's chips.
Okay, so there are claims out there. What's NVIDIA saying?
NVIDIA, for its part, flatly denies having any backdoors. They're emphasizing that cybersecurity is, you know, critically important to them.
Right. Now, the H20 chip itself, that's one of the ones specifically designed for China because of U.S. restrictions, correct?
Exactly. It's part of NVIDIA's China-specific product line. It's engineered to meet U.S. trade restrictions, basically by reducing its performance compared to their, like, top-tier chips.
So it's deliberately less powerful.
Right. While still providing, you know, enough power for Chinese customers.
Okay, and here's where it gets even more complicated, right? Because the U.S. had actually blocked sales of the H20 to China back in April.
They did.
But that ban was reversed recently after a meeting between President Trump and NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang.
That's the report. And the Commerce Department apparently defended this reversal as, like, a concession to get access to rare earth minerals from China.
Ugh, the rare earths angle. Always critical.
Yeah. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick even called the H20 NVIDIA's fourth best processor.
Mm.
He basically said, you know, the U.S. isn't selling them our best stuff, not our second best stuff, not even our third best.
Okay, fourth best. But that still raises a huge question, doesn't it? Is the U.S. trading potential AI dominance for rare earth access, or is this some kind of calculated strategic move? There's a big debate here.
Huge debate. Critics like Representative John Molinar and researcher Jack Burnham from the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. That's a nonpartisan think tank focused on national security.
Okay.
They're warning that these H20 chips, even if they're older or fourth best, are still way more powerful than anything China can produce domestically right now.
Right.
They argue these chips could strengthen China's military, potentially help them suppress citizens, and ultimately threaten U.S. innovation. They see it as giving up a really important strategic advantage.
So from their perspective, even fourth best is still too good when we're talking national security. It's like giving a powerful tool to a competitor, even if it's not your absolute most powerful tool.
That's the argument. Okay. Precisely. However, there's a counter argument, and it's a pretty compelling one, too.
Okay, what's the other side?
Supporters like Arnie Bellini, who's an AI and cybersecurity investor, and Simeon Bochev, a former Apple AI exec, they actually call this a brilliant strategy.
Brilliant? How so?
Well, they suggest it actually strengthens the U.S. supply chain by ensuring access to those critical rare earth minerals.
Okay, secures the minerals. What else?
They also argue it prevents China from developing fully independent AI stacks. The idea is you keep China reliant on NVIDIA's U.S.-controlled CUDA software ecosystem.
Ah, the software lock-in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely essential to run these AI models effectively. It's the silent leverage, as Bellini apparently put it.
Hmm. Silent leverage. Interesting.
And Bochev even brings up the 5G precedent. He argues that when the U.S. restricted its 4G networks from China, it basically forced China to accelerate its own 5G development, which then became dominant globally.
Right. Unintended consequences.
Yeah. The fear is, if the U.S. completely restricts access to these chips, China will just innovate faster on their own and become fully independent, and then the U.S. loses all influence.
Wow. This really feels like a complex, multi-layered situation. Every decision seems to have significant ripple effects. You're trying to balance economic interests, tech leadership, national security, all at once.
Absolutely. The implications here are profound. For global tech supply chains, for national security, for the very future of AI development.
Oh.
You really can't overstate it.
Yeah.
This decision, this whole situation, it affects businesses and governments worldwide. It just illustrates this incredibly complex balancing act that's going to shape the future of tech and, frankly, international relations.
It really makes you think about how interconnected everything is. A decision made in Washington or Beijing directly impacts the chips that might power the next generation of AI we all end up using.
And potentially, yeah, what's powering defense systems, too.
Exactly. Whew. Okay. Let's switch gears a bit to something that impacts maybe more of our weekend plans and definitely our wallets.
You know it. We're talking about ESPN, specifically their long-awaited move into standalone streaming.
Finally. This has been talked about forever.
It has. The big news is that ESPN's new streaming service is officially launching on August 21st.
August 21st. Okay. So what's the damage? How much is this going to cost? And what do we actually get for our money?
All right. The main unlimited plan will cost you $29.99 per month.
Okay. $30.
But if you're looking to bundle, you can get it with Disney Plus and Hulu for $35.99 per month.
Mm.
And they've got a special launch offer. That bundle price is actually $29.99 per month, same as the standalone, but just for the first 12 months.
Ah, an intro offer for the bundle. Got it. Now, this is an ESPN Plus, right? That's still separate.
Correct. Don't confuse this with the ESPN Plus. That's the current, more limited service. It will remain separate, still $11.99 a month. This new one is the full-fat ESPN.
Full-fat ESPN. I like that. So what's included in the full-fat version?
Well, you're essentially getting ESPN's full linear network channels. So think ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ACC Network, ACC Network, ESPN on ABC. Basically, all the main channels.
Wow.
It's a massive amount of content. They estimate it covers something like 47,000 live sporting events annually.
47,000.
Yeah. Plus, you get on-demand replays, all the big studio shows like SportsCenter, Get Up, First Take.
Okay, the talk shows too.
Yep, and original programming like those great 30 for 30 films.
Oh, yeah, love those. That sounds like a dream for sports fans, honestly. And there was something about existing cable subscribers.
Yes, good point. If you already have a pay TV subscription like cable or satellite that includes ESPN, you'll actually be able to access this new streaming service for free.
Oh, okay. So they're not making current subscribers double dip. That's good.
Right. Smart move. And they've also been making some pretty significant deals behind the scenes to beef up the content.
Like what?
Well, the NFL, for instance, is actually acquiring a 10% stake in ESPN.
Whoa. The NFL is buying into ESPN.
Yeah, it's huge. In exchange, ESPN is gaining control of the NFL network and licensing select NFL content. That includes some out-of-market preseason games for the next couple of seasons, 2025 and 2026.
Okay.
And the NFL draft will stream on ESPN service plus Disney Plus and Hulu starting in 2026. And you'll even have the option to add NFL Plus Premium, you know, for red zone access.
Wow. Talk about a content grab, locking in the NFL like that. But wait, there's more, isn't there?
There is. ESPN is also locking a 5-year deal with the WWE.
WWE too? Seriously?
Yep. Making ESPN and its streaming service the exclusive U.S. home for major WWE events like WrestleMania and SummerSlam starting in 2026.
So those are moving from Peacock.
Exactly. Moving over from Peacock. So yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, ESPN is going to be the place to be.
Man, that is a big move. It really heats up the whole streaming competition, doesn't it? Especially since FOX is launching its own sports and news streaming service on the exact same day, August 21st.
Right. And theirs is cheaper, $19.99 a month.
And we've seen Comcast and DirecTV jump into sports streaming recently, too. It's just, it's a race now.
It really is. And ESPN is also updating its app. It'll have, like, enhanced personalization, improved multi-view feature, which is great if you want to watch multiple games at once.
Oh, multi-view is key.
Yeah. Plus betting information, game stats, fantasy sports integration. They're trying to make it a real central hub for sports fans.
Okay, so let's connect the dots here. What does this massive shift by ESPN really mean? For sports fans, for the streaming wars, is this the final nail in the coffin for traditional cable when it comes to sports? Or does it just make things more confusing and expensive?
Well, I think ESPN's standalone launch isn't just, you know, another streaming option. It really feels like a strategic gamble to secure their future beyond traditional cable.
Yeah.
And it could potentially force every other major sports league to kind of follow suit, maybe demanding their own standalone presence or higher fees.
Which could fragment things even more.
Exactly. It could ultimately fragment sports viewership even further. And it might demand that fans, you know, make some tough choices about which pieces, which fragmented content bundles actually fit their budget.
Right. It makes you think about how this will impact your own sports viewing habits and, let's be honest, your monthly bills. Are you going to subscribe to ESPN and Fox Sports and maybe something else? Is it going to be worth it for the specific games or leagues you follow? It's definitely a brave new world for watching sports.
And it forces all these companies to innovate, right? Not just in what they offer, but how they package it and what value they actually deliver for that price tag. The streaming wars are definitely far from over, especially in sports.
Wow. What a day of news. Okay, quick recap. We looked into AMD's Q2 earnings, where, kind of surprisingly, their AI chip revenue dipped, even though overall growth was strong. Really shows how global politics are messing with even the hottest sectors.
Yep. Then we explored that really complex NVIDIA-China chip dispute over the H20 chip, a real high-stakes balancing act between economics, tech leadership, and national security.
Definitely. And finally, we just broke down ESPN's huge, bold move into standalone sports streaming, launching August 21st, poised to really shake up how we all watch live sports.
And all these stories, they really do connect back to everyday life, don't they? Whether it's through the global economy, the shifting sands of geopolitics, or simply how we unwind and consume our entertainment.
Absolutely.
They just show us how quickly industries can transform and how deeply intertwined technology is with, well, pretty much everything around us now.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
We're here to help at Snarful, so reach out on our website if you have any more questions.
And maybe just one final thought to leave you with today. As we watch these tech and trade tensions play out, particularly with things like AI chips, it's really worth pondering. Will this drive for technological independence, both in the U.S. and China, ultimately accelerate global innovation overall? Or will it create deeper divides that actually end up hindering universal progress for everyone? Something to think about.
That's a wrap on today's top stories. Remember, tech doesn't have to be complicated, and we're here to help connect the dots. If you've got questions or want to learn more, visit us at snarful.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.